If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. How many editions have we had, Tobin?
That's a good question. Several.
Several?
Well, we do pretty much 52 a year. We have a couple of reruns along the way, and so we're probably up, what we've been doing, 7 or 8 years now?
7 years, 7 years.
350, 300.
How many you figure I've done in 37 years?
That's a good question.
That is a good question, isn't it? 15,000? Yes. I don't know.
Many.
Many? Way too many.
Yeah, I would agree.
Some of the people don't like us, you know.
Well, and what's not to like?
Well, really, you know. We had a guest one time didn't like us, remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hey.
Very recently.
Yeah, really, what the hey, you know. Oh, well, take a pill and get over it. That's right. The way I look at it.
Or just grab another drink.
In the studio with us, we have the hubcap installer from Ford, Greg Thompson, and the turkey slayer, the can't stop the flop guy, Kelly Kurtz. And we're going to take you turkey hunting. And who's going to be with us, Richard?
Richard Gunn from Wicked Hen Game Calls.
Richard Gunn. I'm going to write that down right now because I'll forget his name in about 3 seconds. So from what call? What's the call company?
Wicked Hen Game Calls.
Now, I've been around you a long, long time hunting turkeys, 20, 30 years now.
Yep.
This has got you fired up, doesn't it? This is a different deal, isn't it?
This is the third year I've used these calls. They're by far the best that I've had them all.
Yeah. But,
and, you know, you can go to the marts all you want, but the custom-made calls are the only way to go as far as I'm concerned. If you're going to spend your money on one, you just will get one that's good.
Do it right. Do it professional.
But this guy, he builds the best calls of any of them I've had so far. So
he's going to be on at 6:30.
Yep.
Okay. Well, where are we calling him at?
Georgia.
Georgia. Yep.
Beautiful downtown Georgia. Yep. A bulldog. Yep. Bulldog, is he?
Well, we've never talked sports much. It's usually all hunting, but.
He just won the third in the friction contest in the state of Georgia.
Twice, and then Alabama also.
Yeah. Oh, then people don't know how to hunt turkeys down. I had to go down there and show them one
Columbus,
time.
Georgia is actually where he lives at.
Columbus.
Yeah.
Huh. Men are men, sheep are nervous in Columbus, Georgia. It's unbelievable. Tobin, I gave you one assignment this week, and you've dropped the ball on it. I know you have.
I tried.
Tried what?
Find out if they had been shocking any walleye down below the
and?
Dam. I haven't found out anything yet. I don't think they have, but they are catching fish down there. And it's kind of odd. You know, normally we say on a normal year, you know, when they're running water, it's definitely best. That's the only time to be down there fishing is when they're for the white bass hybrids and walleye. Definitely better when the water's running. But this past week, from what I hear, Cody's Bait and Tackle, did you see his report?
One of them.
He's saying it's good in slack water right now. Midday bite is good.
For walleye,
yeah. Now, he also said that they're going to be running water pretty consistently starting today. So they had two units running today, and they should have two units running tomorrow. So it's going to be a really good time to get down there. So there's already, with the little bit of water they have been running, there have been whites and hybrids running up there.
Mm-hmm.
And the walleye, though. But unusual that they're doing good midday and without any water running. And doing better, according to him, when they shut the water down, then they triggered a bite for whatever reason.
For whatever reason. I like the way you said it. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I know.
It's completely opposite of what we think, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, normally it's an early bite and a late bite. You know, the first light and last light, and maybe 45 minutes to an hour either side of it. But he said that's not the case right now. I said as they get closer to spawning, and the water temperature, he said, is where it should be for them to be spawning. So that should start to happen pretty quick. And he said once they do start to spawn, then that early and late bite is definitely better. But this past week, it's good to try just about any time.
He was catching some catfish up at 2 feet of water.
Yeah, right. Yeah, in fact, Friday down at Lake of the Ozarks.
Blue cats?
Yeah.
The good ones.
No, you can't eat blue cats. Go ahead. We'll go. Never mind. I don't want to go there. But
Friday, Lake of the Ozarks dropped the lake another foot, and places that he was catching catfish on Thursday were mud showing on Friday. So, but it didn't stop the bite. But another thing he said about the catfish, which I thought was kind of interesting, is that a lot of the fish that they're catching, their bellies are just full of moss. He said they'll puke up chunks of moss in your live well or on your boat.
I did that this morning.
Those fish don't taste good.
I wouldn't, yeah. But he's not.
I know it wouldn't taste
good. He's never seen it before, and that boy's got some experience. Doesn't know what they're doing unless they're trying to get, like, little mollusks out of the moss or maybe some crawdads or maybe some shad. Don't know, but their bellies are full of that nastiness.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. You know, I saw a buck deer chasing a doe the other day, and you know, 2 weeks ago or whatever, you know.
Dogs chasing cats.
I mean, guys, what's going on here in the deal? I was telling Kelly, and we talked about it, but there in September, I had a doe and a fawn in my front yard had spots on it in September.
Last September. Wow.
So I don't know. You know, it's just weird, you know. It's shed antler time, and yet they're still trying to dog a little bit, you know. It's just crazy. Huh. And a deal. Speaking of dogs, we still got 3 of the 6 left. They're $1,000 a piece if you want one, and I recommend them. So we still got the yellows. If you want to go a yellow lab that's got the breeding and the drive and the desire, get on our Facebook and take a look at it and send me a telephone number or whatever if you want a puppy that'll wow everybody. So it should be really, really good. Boy, they're cute little things.
Oh, yeah, if they just stay puppies.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I took my granddaughter down there to look at them. You know, of course, she had to pick them up, you know. And all
oh, yeah.
Stuff. Oh, yeah, you know.
And smell that puppy breath.
Oh, yeah.
Back to fishing. This is only my opinion.
Uh-oh.
People are catching a lot of fish. For goodness sakes, if you're catching all these fish and you're not going to eat them and you're going to go beg people to take them and you're going to throw them out with freezer burn, hook them, take a picture, and throw them back.
Especially in the spring, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Before the spawn and during the spawn.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it is about a man. I have a very dear friend that emptied his freezer the other day, and it was all freezer burn.
Oh, what a shame.
Why?
Yeah, why keep him?
Why did you do that? But he's such a good guy, and I didn't say anything, but it did bother me. Not a deal.
You know, I was talking to Brian Andreka, and it's miserable out there this morning. That north wind is howling, and
terrible.
It's cold. And he's been out this week, and he had a group on Thursday, and it got down into the upper 20s on Thursday. He had a group of 5 adults, 2 toddlers, and an infant that went out. And they were out before light in that cold weather. The infant and the mother, they didn't – well, obviously the infant couldn't fish. But she didn't fish and just had the baby wrapped up in a blanket out in that cold water. Are you kidding me?
Hmm.
That's earning your money right there. No, thank you.
What about common sense? Where'd that go?
Yeah. I mean, why would you want to do that? I mean, that's no fun to sit there and watch other people – with your infant and the 2 toddlers, they were just barely able to walk.
Well, when I fished with you last time, it was you just watched me catch them, and you just sat there and they're going.
I was having a hard time walking too. But he's catching a lot of hybrids. Hybrid bite's good. This crummy weather is really good for the hybrid bite. And talking to Richard Bowling down at Truman, he said you just can't believe the number of fish in these creeks and coves right now. They're just plumb full. And catching some as shallow as a foot deep in anywhere from 4 to 12 feet of water, and catching them anywhere from a foot to 6 feet deep, but he marvels at the amount of fish that are in that lake, and you know it gets a lot of pressure, but it just produces and keeps producing. Yeah. It's crazy.
We say every Saturday, this is the good old days of fishing, boys.
Yes, it is.
This is it.
You know, I scratched my head. What was it, 3 years ago when they changed the limit at Smithville? I'm still seeing people bragging now about how the quality of the fishing has come back since they went to a 30 fish limit.
Another little bright spot on the horizon for me as a duckaholic is North Dakota is covered with snow.
Yeah,
cool. Well,
and that'll produce baby ducks.
Yeah.
And John Devney, I talked to him, he said, enough is enough.
They got enough snow.
Yeah, I think some place got 80 inches of snow on the ground. 80 inches.
Good gosh. Wow.
You know, I looked at Fort Peck. It was 15.2 below power pool. 15
really?
Feet, 2 inches. Low power pool. And in the north central quadrant of Montana, they're still in a drought.
Huh. Wow.
So it's been very weird patterns.
No kidding.
Deal. So, you know, and everybody's squalling, well, we're going to have a flood again. No. You know, you take 15.2 feet of water for 275 miles. How many cubic feet of water is it? You're the mathematician.
Yeah, right.
You know, figure this up,
yeah.
You know. But it's just crazy weather, crazy patterns. And I hate to say this, I think it's actually getting back kind of a normal situation.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
California's had massive rains and massive snow, and their reservoirs are just now up to 70%.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to have a lot of water coming down with all that snow that they've had.
What about Lake Mead and Powell? Anybody hear anything else? They surely are way up, aren't they, I would assume.
I guess. They didn't find Jimmy Hoffa, did they?
They should.
Right.
I know where he's at.
Boy, they found a whole bunch of stuff in that lake when it went down. My goodness.
Yeah. And carcasses, too. They found some carcasses.
Barrels with the...
dead humans.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think some people need to be shot?
That's not for me to judge.
Oh, the high road.
Yeah.
Kyle laughed in there. I mean, if I can make my producer laugh, that guy's too serious. He thought that was a funny statement. We got to be careful about how we joke here on the air.
Heck? Who do you want shot, Kyle?
He's not going to talk. I'm already half shot, so you don't have to worry about that. My goodness.
I got to tell you what I did last weekend. You know, I went down to Lake of the Ozarks. We had a Snake Saturday parade down there. Crummy weather for it. Drizzled and light rain. And so I didn't really fish very much, but I did fish off the dock a little bit and caught enough. I think I had 12 fish that I flayed. Anywho, I took the eggs out of the crappie and fried them and cut the tails off of the crappie and fried those. I highly recommend both. You know, we do whole trout, and one of my favorite parts of that is the tail. It's just a crispy little, like a little fish chip.
Was there green beer involved?
I plead the fifth.
Oh, it was a fifth?
It was a fifth.
Yeah.
Maybe a little Jameson in there, yeah. Too, you reckon?
Are you serious?
I am. And the eggs were wonderful. I mean, it tasted like a piece of fish.
Yeah.
Just rinse them off. You know, they're firm. They're firmed up right now. So just dry them off. Rinse them off, dry them off. And I coat them in the fish mix that I cook all my fish in and fried them up. Oh, my God, they're just delicious.
Redneck but the tail, caviar.
Too. The tails too. I will not throw another crappie back with a tail on it. They're just wonderful. So you got to try it.
We'll get you some counseling after this show is over with. Dr. Schaefer is no longer with us, but he'd like to talk to you.
Yeah.
I was in one time doing a show with the guys. And I was on with Mike Murphy and the guys that time, and then afterwards we end up in the saloon. And Dr. Schaefer was in there, and I remember him talking about it. It was this guy called in and said, telling him all his problems. He said, am I nuts? And he said, yes, you are. You need counseling really, really bad.
Here's my cell number.
Unbelievable. Come find out Doc needed some counseling, it sounded to me like, so what the hey. Hey, we're brought to you proudly. So the Midwest Outdoor is proud to have the Altec Industries. Altec Industries is a sponsor of our show. Altec is the leading supplier of products and services for electrical, utility, and telecommunication contractors, lights and signs, and tree care market. They design, manufacture, and sell products and provide services to more than 100 countries throughout the world. On a personal note, I have many friends who work at this company, and they love it. They treat their employees like friends and family. If you need a great career, look no farther. Currently, they're looking for welders, assemblers, engineers, automotive painters, procurement analysis, which we have a hard time understanding that, procurement analysis. I don't know what that means. If I worked at Ford, I'd know what that means. Material handlers, engineering technologists, and the associates to work in their parts and distribution warehouse. They offer great benefits, 3 weeks paid vacation, which is great. And you take it during the spring turkey season, the crappie spawn, and opening week of deer season. That's your 3 weeks vacation. On-site medical facility, tuition reimbursement, $2 per hour shift. They're a great company to work for. They're located in St. Joe, Missouri. For more information, go to Altec. It's ALTEC.com. That's jobsaltec.com. Going to love working for that company, I will guarantee. I got too many people I know that work there, and they like it.
A procurement specialist facilitates purchases from outside suppliers to keep the business running.
So facilitates outside
suppliers.
Ford could use it.
I was just going to say, Ford could sure use some intelligent ones in that in the stock department.
Kyle's about to have a stroke in there. He's turned red. Look at that. He's turned red. Oh, it's a shirt he's got on. Okay. We got to take a little break. I'm sorry you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry you're listening to the Midwest Outdoor, all three of our listeners. We are brought to you by Sure Ag out of Savannah, Missouri, Osborne, and Forest City, Missouri. Kelly, you ever been to Forest City, Missouri?
About every day.
About every day. The home of the Bobcats?
Yes.
The Forest City Bobcats. Skit, scat, how about that? That was their basketball cheer. No, I never forgot that, did I?
No, unfortunately.
But we have a lot of farmers listening to this show, and this is the time of year where you're kind of about semi-nervous about farming. Well, you should be. Should get your planter out and grease the bearings and things of that nature. Replace the coulters. Is that what they always do? That's a big deal in ag planting. Anyway, but these are the guys I've been using for the last 15, 16 years, 17 years. If you need phosphate, potash, sulfate, urea, nitrate, you know, whatever you're looking for on your farm. But here's what the deal is. They got three managers up there. Between the three, they got 115 years of service. They know what weed they're looking at, which always mesmerized me. They'd walk up and say, well, that's a fall panicking something, something. You know, and you go, huh? But anyway, they'll treat your ground like it's theirs. They're professionals. They're the best. These are the people I've used, and this is the people you need to use. It's called Sure Ag. Again, they're located at Savannah, Osborne, and Forest City, Missouri. Recommend them 110%. Speaking of recommending, snagging season is upon us.
Yes, it is.
Joe Falco will have buku boats pulled back in, say this boat wouldn't run, wouldn't it?
It's, you know, we see it every year, and it just started Wednesday, and it's, I mean, every year since I've been going down Lake of the Ozarks, you know, 50 years now, that opening weekend.
You're old and wore out, Tony.
I know. Well, it definitely wore out part. But, and it's the such a part, drag, you know. A lot of people, this is the first time they get the boat out for the season and only to have it not start or for it to break down when they're out on the water and have to get towed back. And what a you know, just ruin that first weekend out there. But, you know, avoid that by going to Sportsman's Outfitter and Marine. And they'll put your boat through a 32-point check and get it up and running and ready to go, and you're not going to have a problem. If you don't do it now, make sure to do it at the end of the season. But do it, and they'll check your trailer, make sure you don't have any problems with that. And just good peace of mind.
Yeah. Do it and do it right.
Yeah, that's right. Deal, yeah. And if you're looking for a boat, they still got a good selection of boats. And it's, from what I hear, the supply is not going to be too strong this summer. So if you're looking to get into a boat, go do it now while they still got some boats to sell. And just a good bunch of folks out there. Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. They're in Belton. It's the last Belton exit, the Cass Road exit, on the west side of 49 Highway. Used to be 71 Highway.
You know what I'm seeing, Mark, is bad gas.
Yeah, well, then talked to Joe. That's their number one problem.
That's their number one problem. You know, I hang out at Big Four Hardware up at St. Joe a lot, and people come in there this time of year, and the mower won't start. Well, it's bad gas.
It's the ethanol. It has moisture in it.
Moisture.
And that just boogers up everything. So, make sure if you're getting gas for your boat to try to get a plate.
Get gas ethyl. And there's very few people sell ethyl anymore. Is there? I think Casey still does.
Don't want ethanol in it.
You don't want ethanol
in your gas.
You know, it's another 20 cents or 10 cents more a gallon or whatever it is. Probably worth peace of mind.
Well, or at least use Stable or one of those types of products to get that
all the above on the deal. You know, but, you know, there's nothing worse. You know, you're amped up. You want to go catch some fish, and you get there, and you turn the key, and the thing goes,
Been there, done that.
Yeah, and they tow them in.
Yep.
Unbelievable. What a deal.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's not cheap, is it, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Been there, done that. Yeah. Well, it happened to the best of us.
I believe I saw a 96.7 spoonbill posted.
Oh, wow,
but
really?
I can't find it.
Do you know what lake that came out of?
A Truman.
Oh, really?
Somebody caught 222-pound catfish the other day.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was on Facebook in Spain.
Oh, a Wells catfish probably?
Yeah, 222 pounds.
Those are bizarre fish. I mean, guys, 6
a weird
7
looking
foot
fish.
Long. Yeah, they are.
It's like a hybridized blue cat, except darker.
Yeah.
The Asians have big catfish.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they fish with a bait bigger than a softball.
It was quite a story with it. I think the guy was really, really cold, and he, like, literally froze out to get this fish up in the boat, but he wasn't going to quit.
Wow.
It took him hours.
Wow.
And he was just so numb. He said he finally just sat down on the floor of the boat and try to huddle up and hold onto the rod, and it was quite a story I read on the deal.
That's crazy.
But that's a big fish, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a dandy. Now, here's the comment I got, and you made the story. You made headlines. 14-pound walleye was dipped up below the dam at Truman,
mm-hmm.
and you were there.
Two 14-pounders.
Well, this guy politely called you a fisherman.
And there were several 12 to 13 pounders too.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, I know. Yeah, if I actually caught one of those, I'd have a heart attack.
Did you get any pictures?
No, it was dark.
So you went out in the dark and did this?
Yeah,
in the morning. Forgot light.
In the morning, right?
What's the deal with that? I mean, do those fish just lay up and go, get me, get me, get me? Or are they still alive?
Well, no, they're still, I mean, they're stunned. So they're not like laying dead on top of the water. They're still moving. So you got to dip them pretty quick. And that I was one of the dip men.
The dippies.
Yeah.
You call yourself a dip. I can't go
that with an S, yeah.
So anyway.
But yeah, they're still, they'll come up to the top, but if you don't get them right away, then they'll go back down and they'll get behind the boat and you miss them. But that's just fun. But and when we were there, it was just at the very beginning of the spawn, and it was about this time, about the middle of March, and there was not a ton of them up there, but we were out there for about 2 hours, and I think we had 150.
Oh, wasn't a ton of them. I just got 100.
I bet it was just one here. It wasn't like there was just a buku of them that came up when they turned the shocking devices on, but it was just one here and one there. But it didn't take long to get that many either. But it's quite an experience, something to see.
Did they milk them right there?
Because they're not all ripe at the same time. So they take them to the hatchery, and then they inject them with a hormone for them to ripen it together, both the male and the female.
I'll be done. Is that available to the human species, this hormone?
I don't want to reproduce anymore.
Oh, it just goes through the motions.
I guess, yeah. Practice, practice, practice. So were you guys clear up next to the dam?
Yeah.
Normal fishermen can't fish there?
No, this is in the restricted area.
There you go.
But, I mean, isn't it absolutely unbelievable, a 14-pound walleye. I mean, do they look like, I mean, just got to be a weird-looking fish at 14 pounds.
I mean, you've seen pictures of them, and yeah, just they're just giants. I mean, just almost deformed-looking. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful.
I wonder if it hurts that fish that you don't get. You know, is he done for the year? Would he not spawn?
No, they'll recover pretty quick.
Do they?
Yeah. And, you know, there's no reason to think that they wouldn't go back and spawn, but I don't know how
you could ever figure it out.
That, yeah.
But I'm so mad at them, I just couldn't believe they wouldn't give you one to eat.
I know, right?
You still mad about two?
No.
I would have been. I still am. I wasn't even there.
Right. I'd rather have them spawn.
What else species?
And that was kind of the weird thing. And, again, it was early, so walleye are the first to move up below the dam, and there was a few paddlefish that were up there, and they didn't like that electricity.
Oh, I bet not.
At all. It didn't stun them. They just went and they walk across the water. It was kind of funny to watch them. They just go crazy.
I'll bet.
And that was really that was about it. But he said if you get out another 2 or 3 weeks later, if we'd have been out there, he said there would be so many white bass and hybrids out there, you could literally walk across them. There's so many of them up there. But they just weren't there yet, just the walleye.
I'm going to ask you a dumb question no one knows the answer to, I guess. I wonder how what the lifespan of a crappie is. Is it 8 years? Is it 2 years?
The black crappie, according to Gary Burton, is around 5 years.
4 to 5 years.
You really think that's right?
Well, I'll tell you what he told me, and it makes sense. He said the problem with Smithville was it was 95% black crappie. You got to be 9 inches long. It takes 5 years for a black crappie to get close to 9 inches, so none of them were being harvested. So, yes, I believe it.
That's just bizarre.
It is?
It really, really is. Well, I mean, I guess when you think, step back now and say, why did they put the black crappie in there? I suppose they were already there.
Yeah.
Could have been.
Could have been.
Think about salmon, though. 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
They go out to the ocean, they come back, or, you know, they come back to where they were bred and die.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. You know, the older you get, the less you feel like you know. You know, in this wild outdoors and between the turkey hunting and the quail hunting and the deer hunting, and I had that guy tell me he'd been hunting the same deer for 17 years. You know, he's a nice guy. You know, he's just off feed on the deal, so what the hell. So we're going to have Richard Gunn. We're going to take a little bit of a break, but we're going to talk about turkey hunting. Got Kelly Kurtz in here, the Can't Stop the Flop guy. We are brought to you by KingCityLumber.com. If you've not been to their website, please go there and take a look at that. I don't know what it is about buildings. They just mesmerize me. I guess because my dad used to build them. He built one time. It was straight. I'm really. But anyway, God love him. But anyway, go to their website, KingCityLumber.com. These are the finest humans you'll ever do business with. I love these people. Marty Monty Tunks are fine, fine humans, and they will not leave your job site until you're 110% satisfied. KingCityLumber.com. Got to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to get Richard Gunn. We're going to take you turkey hunting. Ought to make a good radio show. Some are just better than others. We'll be right back with you. This guy's getting better with age, picking out the music, isn't he?
Nice job, Kyle. Love Led Zeppelin.
I think I like Kyle, but I'm not sure.
You better like him. He wants to shoot people.
He's already half shot himself. Hey, you know, something has bothered me, and I always talk about it on air if it's bothered me. Mike Boddicker told us he was going to bring us some pickled fish in.
Well, you haven't invited him back on the show yet.
Well, he could stop by and live a stone throw away. He could throw a baseball. Well, he can't throw a baseball that far anymore, but he's not that far away. You know, he's wore out, you know. What do you think?
I'm just waiting for you to invite him back on the show. Well, he's going to bring us some.
Let's go to his house for breakfast this morning.
We could do that, too.
Yeah.
You know. Kelly, you've had pickled fish.
Yep.
What, you don't like it, do you?
No, it's good. I eat it. It's just not something I crave. But, no, I've got the recipe to make it. I was going to make some pickled northern here sometime this winter, but I haven't. I can't get it away from the grease long enough to pickle it.
Like Crisco?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's just a process.
It's lengthy.
It's like a 10-step deal.
You got to boil it and get all your seasonings together and then put it in there. Like I say, there's always a jar in the refrigerator up there in South Dakota where we're fishing. We piece on it, and it's really good.
What kind of year did you have in South Dakota?
Average.
Average.
They just got so much snow and ice up there this year. Well, snow. The ice doesn't matter, but they just got so much snow we couldn't get around up there. We were just stuck all the time, even with four-wheel drive wheelers. I mean, we had tracks on, and you'd have to put the skis on the ice houses to get out, and it got to where we weren't even taking a hard house out. We'd have to set in those pop-up huts.
Hmm.
And then you had to take your heater and all that out. It's just, it's work. It really was this year. It hasn't gotten any better. The snow just continually is getting deeper up there.
Well, that's good for my baby ducks.
Yeah, uh-huh. They
that's
got plenty.
That's good. So. Yeah. By the magic of the telephone, we're calling down to Georgia, the state of Georgia. Strange humans come out of Georgia. Did you know that?
Well, I hear our guest is a little strange, but
oh, really?
Yeah, but a good guy.
But
what Kelly
think says. He hangs out with Jimmy Carter? Any?
No, probably not for long.
Where was Jimmy Carter from?
Georgia?
Yeah.
Someplace in Georgia. Wow. Richard?
Yes, sir.
Are you here with us?
I am. Good morning, guys.
Morning, kid. Hey, where's Jimmy Carter? What town's he hang out at?
He is from Plains, Georgia.
Plains, Georgia. Yes. Okay. Did you ever meet him, Richard?
I have never met him. I have not, but I've been through there a whole bunch, and I tell you what, he's about as famous as they get.
Yeah, I would think so. He bumped into me. I was at the SHOT Show one year in Atlanta, and they moved me out of the way the Secret Service did, and Carter bumped. That's close as I ever come to a president. That's plenty.
I hear you.
That was plenty. Some people didn't like him as president. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, I guess that's... yeah, that's pretty known, too. Yeah. You know how that goes there.
Richard, how in the world, if my buddy here, Kelly Kurtz, in the studio, and if he's high on this turkey call, this must be something. I've not heard it yet. Did you bring one with you?
Not today, no. I had him down here last spring. I ran him here on the show.
Unbelievable sound on the thing. How in the world, what in the world are you doing different? This must be the catch meow of turkey calls.
Well, I don't know that I'm doing really anything different than most of your really good call makers, but I just have figured out, when it comes to building turkey calls, whether it's a box call or a pot call or a mouth call, you know, there's certain, take for instance a pot call, you know, it's everything is a factor as far as your dimensions. You know, you got your bottom thickness, your sidewall thickness, your pedestal heights and shapes. And it's just, you got to kind of just get in there and grind it out and start making them until you find one that'll produce the sound you're looking for, you know. And there's a ton of different sounds out there, and a lot of them, most of them will kill turkeys.
Yeah.
This is just one. Being a competitive caller, it produces, you know, I want to call this easy to play for anybody, not just a, you know, experienced hunter or caller, but, you know, I want anybody to be able to pick it up and play it easily.
Sure. What wood are you using?
Oh, Lord. I go through so many different types. Here lately, last year or so, I've been dipping more into the exotic woods. I have, you know, domestic woods, more common woods, but especially this year. Redesigned my calls last year, and I added this year I come out with a double-sided call, which is you know, you have your normal playing surface on the top side, and then on the bottom, I added a slate to the bottom. So, take for instance, you got a glass call or aluminum call. You had that slate on the bottom. Now you got an aluminum and a slate call.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the best of both worlds there. You can get high and loud and soft at the same time.
Hey, I heard you're a buddy to Wicked Hen Game Calls, correct? These aren't game calls to me. They're artwork. They're beautiful. Some of the wood is just beautiful.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Yeah, I try to use stuff that you know, when you look at it, you just go, wow, that's awesome. and sometimes it's hard, you know. It goes back to what we were just talking about. You know, you got to do your homework and your research. And sometimes, you know, different woods, they produce certain tones or different tones than others. And so you got to play with them and get all your dimensions right to get them sounding good. And some of those exotic woods, they look great, but you struggle to get them right.
We're talking to Richard Gunn from Wicked Hen Game Calls. Richard, why did you start making your own calls?
Well, I've been a competitive caller since the early 90s. Traveled across the country in doing calling contests since then. And it's just, you know, along the way you pick up sponsors and you go to work for different call manufacturers and did that forever. I mean, up until 2019, I placed fourth at the world. Well, I tied for fourth in the world championships and, got many, 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 many other, you know, calling contest titles across the country. But at that point, I just decided, you know, I'm tired of working for other people.
Yeah.
I'm ready to try this on my own. So I just took a shot and got everything lined up, got all my equipment I needed to start, you know, dipping off into it myself, and just went from there.
Where did you come up with the name Wicked Hen Game Calls?
I don't know. I've seen the term wicked used in the industry many times, but I don't know. I guess it just one day, you know, it just popped in my head, and I was like, "Wicked Hen Game Calls." I don't know. I can't explain that really. It was just.
It sounds great.
I thought it was a cool name.
Yeah, it is. I love it.
I wanted something catchy, you know.
WickedHen.com. Is that what you got to do to find one of these?
So I only do social media. I don't have a website.
Okay.
But if someone were to try to, you know, look me up, just go to my personal page on Facebook, and I have a Wicked Hen Game Calls page. I actually have a bigger following on my personal page, so if they go there, they could find, you know, every time I come out with a different call or sometimes even older calls, I post videos on there, show pictures of the call, and play them so they can actually hear them also.
If a guy wants one of these, which I highly recommend, if Kelly Kurtz says that's the one to use, that's the one to use. I mean, is there a waiting period? Can you just call and you'll have some in the inventory?
Yes, sir. Usually when I post a call, now dealing with this exotic wood stuff, you know, sometimes they're limited on how many I'll have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I may can only get my hands on enough to do 7 or 8 calls, sometimes less.
Wow.
Then again, it may be some I can, you know, do even more, but it just varies. So, but usually when I post a call, I have several of them available. So they usually ship within 1 to 2 days. And
Have you ever used African rosewood? Are you familiar with that?
I have used Honduran rosewood for strikers, but I have not messed with that one, no.
I know, I've got a buddy that made them African rosewood with made duck calls, and there was just something different about it. It was the high ring that you could get out of that African rosewood on the deal, but it just unbelievable
sound. It's amazing. Some of those woods, the sounds they can produce, it's just baffling. And I'm still learning, you know. Like I say, I was a caller for most of my career in the industry. So the call-making part of it is I'm still learning myself.
The denser
I grew up selling them for companies, and now I'm building them. So it's a learning process still for me. I think I'm doing well at it, but there's still stuff I haven't messed with yet.
Isn't the denser the wood, the higher quality of the sound coming out?
Yeah. The tighter the grain, usually the better quality sound you can get out of it. But then again, that dips back into all your dimensions. Everything's a factor. Playing surface and soundboard combinations. Some woods like harder surfaces better than your slates, or, you know, and vice versa. But usually your tighter grain woods will play all of those usually really well.
You know, my buddy builds them out of African rosewood, the duck calls, and he said he's just about through with them, and all of a sudden they split. And he said, I just want a moment alone to cry. He said, I put my heart and soul. And I bet you've had the same thing, haven't you?
Oh, I've had them fly apart. I mean, you're right there at the end. It's looking so good, and you can't wait to get it off there, and all of a sudden, boom!
Well, I also wanted to add, Richard, I know you and I talk all the time, and I wanted to tell everybody about he's developed. You guys got to see these box calls he's making now. Now he's also making what you and I call a paddle boat, but it's a long box, actually. These things are gorgeous. And I've got them, and you also make a grunt call, you know.
Yes,
for deer.
I make a two-piece custom wood grunt call. every year I try to change it up and do some in different types of woods. I think an all wood grunt call to me, you know, getting away from the flex tube, the plastic tube, they work and they sound great, but something about an all wood call, I just love the tone.
Well, they work, I'll guarantee you. I stand behind every one of them. I've told you that before, but no, I've got one of your box calls, and this thing is off the charts. And I can't wait to get my long box as soon as you get them. He's not quite done with them, but if you guys want to get into the box calls, he's not only limited to pots, so. But no.
Yeah, do box calls too. The long boxes are a new addition this year, and actually, I redesigned my short boxes too this year. I've got a couple different kinds and sizes, and the long boxes I'm really excited about.
They're cool.
They're a great addition. They're beautiful woods. Like the two I got laying here are Macassar ebony lids, with one of them's over figured black limba, and another is a spalted sycamore, and I like those woods, like I said earlier, that you look at and you go, wow. You know,
that Paducah is a real pretty wood, too.
Looking good and sounding good, that's like, to me, that's the ultimate call. I'm not saying, and there's lots of great call makers out there that have just what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I finally have got to the point where I can produce some myself, too, because that's... I like that wow factor.
Everybody has a turkey story, but I remember when I got my first slate call, and I would be darned, I wouldn't use it. I'm a diaphragm caller, and that's what I do. But I remember being out there and nothing going on. I thought, what the hell? It's two out in the bottom of the ninth. Let's try this thing. And I yelped on it, and the turkey gobbled. Ended up coming to his demise on the deal. And there's something about the octave levels. I don't know where it is. It cuts through the humidity or what happens, but all of a sudden it just drives them nuts in the deal.
It sure does.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree.
I use it on my co-host from time to time to get his attention, you know, just squeak.
Well, there's such a variation of surfaces now, too, that you're making that I don't know why a guy can't find one. I mean, one of them's going to work. I mean, there's aluminum, there's glass, there's ceramic. I mean, the ceramic calls they're outstanding, but I'm an aluminum or glass.
Last couple of years, I have really fallen in love with ceramic on turkeys.
Yeah.
It's something about that tone that just drives them insane.
Yeah.
I'm big, you know, I've always been a slate and a glass guy all my life. Been turkey hunting since I was, 13, 14, something like that, and killed them with many, many different types. But ceramic, last few years, I can't keep it out of my hand in the woods. Yeah. I tell you what.
That red ceramic you make is by far one of your best, that's for sure.
Yep.
And Fred, he runs around Joe Drake all the time,
too.
Oh,
no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Surely not.
Yeah.
You don't be seen in public with him, do you?
Sometimes I slip up.
Hey, Richard, you're down in Georgia. How are the turkey numbers your way?
I don't know that they're down, but I don't know. I hear so much talk about it. I see good – the places I hunt, that's all I can speak for, you know, is there's plenty of turkey now. They moved us back last year. They set us back a week on private land and 2 weeks on public land here in Georgia, and they're making it tough on us. And they actually took – we used to have a three-bird limit. Now we're down to a two.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting later, so they've been gobbling here. It's been warm, and I don't know, for the last month they've been gobbling their heads off. So about time we get started April 1st, it's gonna be tough.
The
numbers they say are down around here, but I think it's just depending on location.
I get all kinds of comments about why the turkey numbers are down. Do you have any thoughts on that, Richard?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors. you know, predators have a lot to do with it. And maybe it's the reason, you know, they can, like here in Alabama, you know, they recently over the last few years have moved the dates back and taken, you know, a bird away on the season limits and stuff. Is maybe too many birds being killed, you know, that that's a contributing factor.
Sure it is.
Possibly.
Sure.
I'm not saying that, you know, maybe it's all of it together with the increase, you know, with trapping being what it is nowadays, it was, there was a lot more of it. You know, there used to be a lot more of it back in the day, and now there's not as much. So the numbers are increasing on the predators, and they got to eat, and you get us hunters out there with, you know, our love of the sport, you know, and everybody tagging out, you know, that's...
Yeah. I think now, and this is my personal opinion, but we are the generation of the finest turkey hunters that ever walked the face of the earth.
Absolutely.
I think these guys can flat put it on them and work them, and we've educated, and we've, you know, we're better callers than we used to be, and all the call manufacturers, and it just helps put a bird in the bag on the thing. I just love eating them. That's my problem.
Absolutely.
They're too good
to eat.
Absolutely.
It makes a great sandwich, don't it?
Oh, my. Unbelievable. Well, Richard, now again, so they go to Richard Gunn, just Google that, or what do you do to get this?
Well, if you on social media, if you go to Facebook and just put in Richard Gunn or either Wicked Hen Game Calls, either way, it'll take you to one of my pages.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Instagram.
I appreciate you getting up this early to join us here on the air. And, ladies and gentlemen, if Kelly Kurtz endorses this product, you should own one, too. So that's just as simple as it gets on the deal. So, Richard, thank you for coming on the air here with us.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
It's
good to hear from you this morning. I'll give you a ring here later on, but I sure appreciate you doing it for us. So.
Yep.
Yes, sir, Kelly. I appreciate you getting this lined up, and I enjoyed
it. Well,
really did. It's been great.
Like I say, I stand behind you 110%, so, and I don't say that to very many people.
Yeah,
so.
That's a great call. If Kelly can endorse it, that's the way it is. Another deal.
Well, I appreciate you, Kelly, and both of you guys. It's been a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you just knew us on a personal level, you wouldn't say that. But what the heck, you know? Okay,
well, there
buddy.
You go. Maybe this is the start of a great friendship.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, go back to bed. I'm sorry we woke you up.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day. Thanks.
He's got a good product, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah. It's got to sound like I'm all about the upper part where it breaks. It's got that rasp and the high pitch break on all of his calls. Do I mean, he makes so many different surfaces. There's glass over aluminum, aluminum over glass, ceramic, slate. I mean, it's never ending. Now, you can make them however you want.
Yeah,
and I own probably 10 of them plus a box. And like I say, this long box he's making, I've got him making another call for me. I'll have to show you.
Yeah.
We're in the process of making this one, so it ought to be a dandy.
It's an amazing deal.
Oh, yeah, and the labor and the...
Yeah.
I mean, the guy knows his business. And like I say, being a competition caller, he's already taken third in Georgia and Alabama, I think, both this year already with Friction, and he built a call that at the National Wild Turkey Federation. He doesn't brag about his call. I mean, he's good at what he does, and, you know.
You know, I don't think people understand how many hours it takes him to build one of these calls.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just slam them together and throw them out on the market.
He's working on these things 7 days a week trying to, you know, get them
and better.
He hand-tunes every call.
Yeah.
He takes them out and does a sound check on all of them.
Have you ever heard Kyle in here call?
No, he's got to be good, though.
You step on his toe, and he'll just squall like a turkey. It's just unbelievable.
And the hens come running.
Have you seen his latest hen?
No.
I'll tell you about it when we get off the air.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, in my opinion.
You're talking about a live one, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm worried about the boy. Hey, we're brought to you by Reed Chevrolet. These are the guys. Our family's bought five. I talked to a guy in there who's bought seven from Reed's. They treat you with respect and dignity. I love that. No pressure. They always say, we'll never sell you a car. They'll help you buy you one. Non-commissioned salespeople. Mark's been there. We've been there. Everybody's bought one. You know, it's just the way you're supposed to be treated in the car business. And that goes a long, long way. That whole Tyler and Trevin are just the most wonderful people I've ever been around in my life. And I'm trying to get Trevin to come in here. We're going to talk sheep hunting.
Oh, yeah, right.
I promised him we'd do it in March, but it doesn't seem like we're just so darn busy on the deal.
Yeah, he's such a good guy.
Now, allegedly, last week we announced that Garmin was going to be in the studio on the deal. We had cancellation because of conflict of interest and all kinds of problems, but we are working on it. I want to get those guys in here so bad. They're a company within a stone's throw of this building. They're great people. Love them to death. So maybe we can get Garmin to come in here and talk about some of their products. They got the cutting edge. Unbelievable. Are you going fishing, Mark?
That's going to be a little cool this weekend for me. I'll wait till next week.
Well, it's only, what, 18 out there or something?
Yeah. And that the wind. That wind is bad.
It's going to be a rough opener for Nebraska archery next Sunday.
Yeah,
I know that.
I can tell you that. There ain't no birds in Nebraska anyway.
Not that I've seen.
They're all dead. What the heck? I'll tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.